And so I never try repeating this phrase of Marshall McLuhan, the philosopher of the modern media. Remember, the modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. Thanks, Marshall. Thanks. How true. No, this can be a scrupulous conscience. Seeing evil in good and grave evil in something which is only slightly evil. Scruple comes from the Latin. Scrupulum, which is a little pebble. Back in the, in pre-Christian days, they didn't usually wear shoes the way we do now. We have sandals. Well, they get a little pieces of sand or a little scruple into their sandals. So every once in a while, they'd have to, stop walking and, take the little particles out of their sandals. Those are scruples. You see what we've done with the word. So a scrupulous conscience is one that sees sin where there isn't any, or a big sin where there is not. A grave sin. He lacks conscience. He lacks conscience. Insufficient grounds sees no evil or minimizes the evil without adequate grounds. There are many actions in a given day. Every day. For example, I thought one day I would count the number of times I was humiliated that day so that I could adjust myself to the humiliation. You know, in every conversation at table. 2 o'clock that afternoon, I counted 14 humiliations. I've never counted since. In other words, he lacks conscience, sees no evil where there is evil, or sees only something which is trifling that can be very grave, and therefore is erroneous on those grounds. And let me tell you, what a safe statement. The United States, as a nation, has a very lax conscience. A perplexed conscience. Sees sin in doing and omitting an action which really is not sinful at all, or is not sure whether. Perplexed. Now this is important, because if there is one area where the mind should be clear, it is in moral matters. And we have a duty to not have a perplexed conscience. And we have a further duty to avoid situations where our conscience becomes confused, or mixed up, or perplexed. Avoid, for example, friendships where our conscience will be tested and we're not up to coping with certain people and certain kinds of situations or conversations. There is a conscience, deriving, of course, his name from the Pharisees, minimizes grave sins and magnifies matters of little importance. Remember how many times the Pharisees blamed our Lord for performing, say, an act of charity on the Sabbath. so they magnified Christ's. Not keeping the Sabbath. And then he finally reminded them, now look, I'm master of the Sabbath. That's where they finally crucified him. And let me tell you, there can be people who can be very pious. Very pious. Martha Manushia. Have say, what we call the policy of belonging in the church. And can be as blind can be, in say grave failures against charity and even sheer justice. We don't want people to think that we are good. And so people can put on, oh, how they can put on moral piety. One of my definitions of a good person is one who does God's will behind closed doors. Well, much of our conduct can be stage play. Now, third classification, kinds. In terms of assent, there are two words we should keep clear. As I keep repeating, words in the Catholic faith are crucial. They are the indispensable labels that identify certain truths. We should never say consent with the mind. Never, never. We consent with the will. We assent with the mind. Then there are three categories or types of conscience in terms of assent. A conscience can first of all be certain. When I assent, I accept what my mind tells me that I should do without prudent fear of error. And every word there counts. Prudent fear. And this is where in counseling, for example, scrupulous people. We'll talk about that later on. They can have unreasonable fears. A certain conscience is one which is without prudent fear of error. And we should all have, we should all operate from a certain conscience. But you better know what the word certain means. I repeat, you don't go to the Random House or Webster's Dictionary. It won't help you. Again, a conscience may be what they call probable. In other words, my assent may be probable because what I see that I am to do may be lawful. It may be lawful. And I act on that conscience. I have what we call probable certitude. And then thirdly, doubtful. Where the conscience hesitates to make a judgment. Why? Because I might be wrong. We're not going to analyze these definitions much further now. Just to know that it makes all the difference of the world whether I'm operating from a certain conscience. Because I may never act on a doubtful conscience. Never, never. And what wisdom, therefore, there is in watching what ideas get into my mind. Because if I don't watch the intake of my intellect, my mind will be filled with all kinds of ideas that will keep me from being sure that something ought to be done. Now, something about our duties. And there are three basic laws. We are obliged to take serious care to always have a true conscience. We are to remember is the same as correct. What are some of the means we should take? Effort to know the law. What does the church teach? Then take wise counsel. And that adjective wise counsel is important. Not just take counsel, but wise counsel. Somebody who knows what the law is about something on which, say, I am not sure. And we ought to have. And in teaching priests over the years, I've told them, you yourselves, be sure you know whom you can consult when you need, say, to resolve a doubt or a problem. And again, as priests, watch yourselves that you do not become, well, a universal counsel to anybody who can count from 1 to 10 and can pick up the telephone and call your number. Because on earth, the most precious possession we've got is time. And the telephone can be a tyrant. Did you know that? Well, that priests who offer counsel, and that we should also be available to counsel others. Again, pray for light. That is why, as the fathers of the church tell us, why Christ in the Gospels healed so many blind people. First of all, they were blind people who wanted their sight restored. So it was an act of charity on Christ's part. But one of the main reasons was that we might recognize we are all, and that's universal, we are all blind, all of us. And the worst tragedy than being blind is not know you're blind. We don't see what is God's will. That is why we must pray, Lord, that I may see. There's a prayer of St. Augustine. You may maybe provide you with a copy of it. I know the opening words of the Latin. This is God being spoken to. Novarim me, novarim te. Lord, that I may know myself, that I may know Thee. Maybe somebody else can do what, say, I am being urged to do, but I shouldn't. Or maybe before I do it, I better put my armor on. In case nobody told you, armor has not gone out of date. Do you hear me? Heavy plate armor. There are situations. How will I know as a priest that we can get ourselves into? Walk in like babes. Which God did not either want us to get into or wanted to harm us, strengthen us to cope with a situation. Over that I must pray. Like to know whether I should do it. Like to know how I should do it. And like to know under what circumstances I ought to do it. Maybe not now. Like the time that I was invited by a television station in Chicago to debate with a Satanist for 2 hours, till midnight at 2 in the morning, would be videotaped. At first I thought it was a comma, wasn't genuine. So I go to the television station, I said, look, I'm not sure this is serious. Would you please tell your Satanist friend to let me know something about himself? So he called me up from Indianapolis. I was in Chicago. He identified himself. He was bona fide. And the head of the Satanic Order, it's called Ordo Satanae, was an apostate priest. They sent me literature, still in my files, on red letterhead. So I called back and said, I'll be very happy to debate with the Satanist, but I need 2 weeks of time to prepare. You don't walk into a Satan's net without being ready. The Satanist couldn't wait. So thanks. Next time. And let me tell you, we are called upon more often than most of us realize to engage in a debate with Satanists. I see this, and I've been teaching this over the years. Every person in mortal sin is an agent of the devil. And we just go through life dealing with people who are obviously living in grave sin. And, she's my closest friend. Pray for light. To cultivate a true conscience, I must avoid sin. There is nothing so blinds the mind to recognize sin as sin. Every sin we commit blinds us. And the measure and degree of the gravity of the sin we commit. I've dealt with my share, I deal with my share of people who are living in sin. By the editors of the World Book Encyclopedia. First time I'm making this public. 20 years as a Catholic advisor to the World Book Encyclopedia. Last several years I began to have articles in there that were just off the wall. Abortion, contraception, homosexuality, feminism. I wrote, we talked by telephone, visited the headquarters in Chicago, sent me the contract for this year. They promised to mend their ways. So I sent the contract for 92. So they sent me the first revised article, this one on abortion. No way. And I'm deliberately saying this in public. No way can I either continue working as advisor to the World Book Encyclopedia, read by millions in the United States, or recommend it to anyone, unless and until they thoroughly change their editorial policy. And once people are steeped in sin, they don't even see that something is sinful. receive the sacraments, both sacraments, the Eucharist and the sacrament of penance or confession. The more frequently we receive our Lord, who is, as we believe, infinite light who became man, the clearer it will be our light of mind in recognizing evil, and the clearer in recognizing good that we should do. And confession. I cannot recommend too strongly frequent confession. Find the priests. Specialize in certain priests. And if it's a burden on them, it's good for them. Good for the priesthood. If they complain, be real nice. Try to, well, mellow their complaints. It's good for priests to hear confessions, and the more the better. Go to confession as often as you can. Second duty, you're always obliged to follow our conscience, whether it commands or forbids. That's no trifling matter. But you see, the homework we've got to do. Notice, the most important word in that sentence is the word our. You're always obliged to follow our conscience. It's the only conscience we've got. The conscience of our mind making decisions on moral matters. Note, there is no duty when conscience merely permits or counsels. That's very important. There is no duty to follow the conscience if it's merely that I'm allowed to do something or might even be encouraged to do it. But it is a grave duty we have to have a clear, clear conscience. And there's one description of the American mind. It's a confused mind, especially in moral matters. You cannot read from me in Detroit, the Detroit Free Press, or Detroit News, without have your conscience confused, befuddled, and finally become, well, drugged by the error the newspapers are constantly peddling. And for some people, the most important decision they could make in life is to decide what to stop reading. I mean today, on October the 11th, 1992. Of course, it's an addiction. You better break the habit. Third duty, you may not act on conscience, which is in culpable ignorance. If you cannot act contrary to such a conscience, the error must first be corrected. There's just 500 pages locked up behind that sentence. My mind can be an error. What a safe statement can be. My mind can be an error on my duties in life. I'm told to always follow my conscience. Well, so I'm following my conscience. And my conscience is an error. I better find out whether it's an error or not. Because we have a duty to have a correct or true conscience that is not in error. according to our state of life. Children should have a correct conscience for their state and stage in life. And you parents have a duty to train their conscience on the level and degree of their responsibility. And that is why massive sex education, which is so widespread in our country, is a crime. That's spelled C-R-I-M-E. Because then children are drugged with ideas for which they simply are not prepared to cope. When they grow up, they will have a demonically erroneous conscience. And I use the word demonically deliberately. Because of the kind of training that their conscience had been given them by those, and I repeat what I said before and I mean it, hell-bent on destroying Christianity in our country. I mean it. And we better know there's a war going on. And the principal target of that war is the Catholic Church. And within the Catholic Church, those who are trying to remain faithful to the Church's moral teaching. Now, he lacks conscience. He said what a lax conscience is. Sees no sin where there is sin, or minimizes the sin where it is grave. And I want to repeat, and I'll keep repeating it, the conscience of America is notoriously lax. And our highest judiciary has, and with the power of the federal government, lacks conscience. What a kind word. Has illegalized murder. Has removed the fifth commandment from the Decalogue. What are the causes? Some of the causes. Bad education. Bad company. Bad example. Bad media. Uncontrolled passions, and neglect of prayer and the sacraments. And over the years in teaching priests, I would just choose some one area of this and tell them to train their people to develop the most important thing we all need. Everyone, beginning with myself, is a constant daily training of our minds to recognize what is good and recognize what is evil. Because all around us, there is so much that is evil that is not only tolerated, but as I've just said, even legalized and, I dare say, legislated. What are the remedies? Sound education. For many parents, they have no choice anymore except, I think I told you, I prefer not to use the word homeschooling, though it is the accepted word, because home and school for me are etymologically and psychologically in conflict. I prefer to speak of home education. Well, because so many schools, and in case you don't know, I think I mentioned in some class, maybe last semester, the state of Michigan is the testing ground for educational policy in the United States. Did you know that? And the people of Michigan, in the nature of things, are therefore the primary objects of that. How far those who are in control of education in our country, how far they can go. And now, as you know, sex education is legislated in the state of Michigan. Did you know that? And it is sex perverse education. I know I'm being taped. Selective friendship. This is not a cheap aphorism. Tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. We are shaped by the people I don't see we necessarily have to associate with. I mean friends. Those that we choose and pick and are in their company and we in theirs. Mainly in a given day or at least a week. Wholesome associations to form associations, societies. One of my jobs for the church is to form associations. Because we need one another. Sound media, that sound, by the way, is not audible media. That means morally sound. And how hard it is to get good, morally sound media today. Daily examination of conscience, every day, ogni giorno, every day. The habit of prayer. And the habit is necessary because we're constantly called upon to make decisions. Have we ever counted the number of free choices we made in a given day? Past counting. Not quite sure what I'm going to say next. The Lord knows. So He wants me to say it. But all the while, the mind is acting. So, we must be constantly, and it is not pious. This is reality. We've got to be in contact with God always. And ask for His help. Finally, confession and communion. As often as you can. You have to travel 50 miles to go to confession? So what? It's worth the gas. Now, our perplexed conscience, which we described, what are some of the remedies? Judicious inquiry. Some people are such, you might see, impulsive characters. Some are more impulsive than others. Think. And that, for some people, is the hardest thing in the world for them to do, just to think. Before you say something, before you do something, judicious inquiry. Find out. Where am I going? Whom will I meet? I'm in conversation. I tell people to plan their conversations. They don't pull out, you know, a notebook or a book. We had a conversation. Let's see here on page 246. No. And you don't let people know that you've planned. Plan your conversations. Oh, it's a real joy. See how the conversation is going. Is it going okay? Well, be kind and contribute something. Keep it going. See, it's getting out of hand. Then ask a question. Again, smile. There are some people that are as silent as sphinxes. Did you ask them about something which they're interested in? So, know what they're interested in. Get the conversation going. There's an art of leading conversations. Very important. Cultivate decisiveness. In other words, we have to plan, anticipate, but don't spend your life anticipating. My record, I have a couple. Now, I think I told you, dating for 12 years. She wanted to marry him 11 years and 6 months ago. Finally, her sister called me up. Will you please talk to the two of them? I didn't have to talk to her because she had a mind made up years ago. I took the bedroom to a quiet room, closed the door behind me. I looked for a loose object, hit him over the head. So, be decisive. Not impulsive, but decisive. And there are certain rules for elect conscience. Remember we talked about before. Because a perplexed conscience can become a lax conscience unless it is brought under control. And finally, scrupulous conscience. Distinguish from a tender conscience. Some people are very sensitive, morally, beautiful. But that's different from having a scrupulous conscience. What's the difference? Well, a scrupulous conscience is a liability. A tender conscience is a great asset. And we should distinguish both in ourselves and in others. Parents to recognize, for example, some of their children have a more tender conscience than others. Protect your children. They have a tender conscience. So that you don't, shape them all according to the same norms. Maybe a divine trial, but find out. Then it should be overcome. In other words, having a scrupulous conscience is not pleasing to God. How to overcome scrupulosity? 4 recommendations. Obedience to the director. How many times I've told people over the telephone, I told you, that's not a sin. You're asking me, can I go to communion? Yes, tell them, you go to communion. But I think it's a sin. But I'm telling you to go to communion. But I still think it's a sin. And I still tell you, you go to communion. If you don't go to communion, stop calling me up. Don't waste my time. Occupy your mind and body. Some people cultivate a scrupulous conscience. They have another book by some mystic. They've got Teresa of Avila memorized. Assiduous prayer and, above all, cultivate trust in God. In other words, you've done what you can to find out what is God's will. You believe it's God's will, but you can't swim. Don't worry, jump in. But I can't swim. I said, jump in. It's time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we resume according to schedule at